This is the second tape of the interview of Professor Sidney Willig. And I am Bonnie Bayliss, and we have decided to go on with a second tape to capture some of the ideas that he would like to express.
As I wanted to indicate, that I believe that the survival of Jews is related to genetic favoritism, itself developed at least to some extent from the same millennia of historic circumstance that chronicles the history of the would-be exterminators and oppressors. It has been my experience that many people who have examined the rationale for these haters of Jews usually find in them some question, some haunting fear of their own inadequacy, of their own comparative inability. Jews are copers. They are survivors. History has taught them that they must do this. I would like to indicate that today, as we all know, German scholars and historians are in the vanguard of investigating the terrible records. It is they who have helped accumulate a great deal of the evidence against the Nazis and so on. And in a way, this catharsis and this purge has been truly salutary and exemplary insofar as Germans are concerned. But unfortunately, as others have noted, it has led to a rather incomplete picture of the Holocaust experience, not only in Europe, but all over the world. I think it is something that we should bear in mind. In our own country, despite the extremely high percentage of persons who have been so thoroughly integrated into American society that we term them assimilated, we still have a nucleus of the same kinds of Jews that survived on the European continent, on the African continent, in Asia. And it is we who must accept this burden of maintaining that pride of history, that pride of motivation, that pride of humanity, humaneness, that is part and parcel of our estate. I am awfully happy to have had this opportunity to add my small voice to that of Jews who underwent unspeakable horrors at the hands of the enemy. But I join them in their vigilance, and with them, I join them in the hope that it will not happen again. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you. As you know, after an interview, always there are more thoughts that come to mind. Something in an hour can't possibly tell even another hour of a person's life, much less an entire period and an entire history. So we've decided that other thoughts that come to Professor Willig's mind are appropriate for this tape. His concern that they are out of sequence, I think, is much appreciated, and yet to lose any of these thoughts would be much worse than to be out of sequence, in my opinion. So please do speak, okay?
I must say, I don't know whether I got this from my father or what the reason of it was, but my father always considered that, and he came here quite by accident to this country, and it was a wonderful accident for me that he remained. But he was interned as an enemy alien in World War Number One because essentially he considered himself an Austrian, even though we would term him a Galiciana. He was an Austrian, and he considered that Franz Josef was a great and benevolent emperor. Whatever the reason, I think I was rather Germanophilic. And as I went through college especially, even though I had already studied Latin and French and Spanish, I spent my most time with German. I took German 5 days a week and learned conversational and more importantly, literary German. To me, Thomas Mann was so great. Tod in Venedig, Death in Venice, was one of the most beautiful things that I could read, and I loved it. But the man that really made me a Jew while I was at college, and I thought about this, for a fairly irreligious kind of guy, the fellow that made me a Jew was Leon Furchtwanger. That's spelled L-I-O-N, Lion, I guess it should be pronounced. When I read his book, Josephus, I became a Jew. He put history in its perspective. And then I followed that with his Jew of Rome. And I read Wassermann, and I read, as I say, Thomas Mann, Magic Mountain was so great to me. And I read all of these in German. And that I thought was very interesting, that I should be so much of a Germanophile, and that Thomas Mann, of course, fled to this country. The others are gone. But the fact was that those people that he fled from turned out to be capable of such deeds when they had so much feeling for art and beauty in them. How this has repeated itself also is of interest. The boy that was born while I was abroad, unfortunately, died at age 30 from cancer. But nonetheless, in the time he was alive and had attended and graduated from Allegheny College, he taverned as though he were a German student. My younger boy, who is now my only son, Kenneth, became a German scholar and German historian, and indeed went to Japan and taught German history there, in German, to the Japanese students for 2 years. Kenneth sojourned in Germany to write his doctoral thesis on the position of the German bar and judiciary during the Holocaust. But he sojourned in Germany to do this, and by the way, got tremendous cooperation from the German people and the German archivists, much more so than from our own in this country. To this day, Kenneth speaks German very well and has a thorough collection of the German literati. Isn't that a strange thing for a first and second generation of meager Galiciana heritage to be able to find as an interest, to find as a major interest? I really can't give you any clue as to why that is, other than what I've told you already.